Hello, everybody, and welcome to the HPE Quick Tips Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Charlie Rizzuto. It's been a little while since our last episode, and for a good reason. My wife and I were preparing to have and then having and then adjusting to having our second child. We welcomed our beautiful baby girl into the world, Ruby James, on February 21st. She weighed in at 9 pounds, 10 ounces. She's doing great. Mom's doing great. Dad's doing great. Everybody's doing really well, and we're just really happy and excited to have this addition to our family. Now, those of you that listen to the show fairly regularly may have noticed that at the end of our last episode, there was no preview for this episode. Usually at the end of a show, during the outro music, I will insert an audio file where our next guest introduces themselves and talks a little bit about what they're going to share during the episode that they're going to be featured on. And at the end of the last episode, that didn't happen. And that's because today, there is no guest. It's just me. Well, that wasn't very nice, and I'm going to pretend like it didn't happen. So moving right along, today's show is called Two Yeses and a Not Yet. Like many of you, over the summer, I spend a lot of time in reflection, thinking about the previous school year and trying to brainstorm things that I want to implement into my teaching in the coming school year. Today's show is going to focus on three of those things that I thought about over the summer, two of which I have to this point been able to implement into my teaching and give a try, and one that I haven't gotten to yet. And first on the list is using Google Hangouts as a summative assessment tool in my health classes. So in an effort to create various pathways for my students to engage in learning and display what they've learned during the course of a learning sequence, I provided a Google Hangout as an option for students to create a project with. And if they chose Google Hangouts, their project was going to be a news broadcast pertaining to an element of the unit that we just finished. And I think one of the groups that utilized Google Hangouts had a conversation surrounding synthetic drugs. One group member would serve as the host, and their job was to ask questions of the panel and also deliver some information. So the host could ask a question, and then when the panelists answered that question, the host could build off of that answer with some new information, or the host could provide information prior to asking their question to one of the panelists. And then the panelists obviously were answering the questions, possibly asking questions of each other, and then answering each other's questions, having a conversation with one another before the host would come back in, fill in some of the gaps, and then ask a new question. Now, the panelists were supposed to represent different professional organizations that could provide reliable information in relation to their topic. So they would represent the CDC, the WHO, maybe they would represent somebody from government, they could represent, you know, a police officer, whatever the case may be, as long as they chose a professional organization that could provide reliable information pertaining to their topic, that was fine. For the most part, the project went really well. At first, the students were semi-reluctant just because they didn't really know what a Google Hangout was. But I showed them what it was. We conducted a Google Hangout in class. I brought my class to the library, and I conducted a Google Hangout with the librarian. So I was on one laptop, he was on another, and we projected my laptop onto the screen so the students can see how to initiate the live Hangout, how to go through all the steps to invite somebody, how to accept the invitation to get into a Hangout, et cetera, et cetera. However, there were obviously some hurdles that the students had overcome to complete their project, one of which was really my fault. It just slipped my mind at the time. I forgot that in order to create a live Hangout, you need access to YouTube. And in my school, teachers have access to YouTube, but the students don't. So I was able to show them how to do it, but they weren't able to work on their Hangout in terms of recording it in class. They were able to obviously maybe do some extra research outside of their class notes. They were able to organize as a group, maybe write a script, maybe figure out the questions that were going to be asked and things of that nature. But the actual project itself had to be done at home on their own time, which meant that they had to organize schedules and they had to figure out how to use the technology. So one of the things that I had to do, and then if you want to utilize this as a way to provide a pathway for your students to engage in a project, you must make yourself available whenever it is that they're going to be conducting their Hangout. So my students would email me questions. My emails go to my phone, but I made sure that when I knew that, you know, they were going to be recording Saturday afternoon, that I was somewhere around my phone so I could respond to their emails and answer their questions and help them out along the way. Some other hurdles were just students having old laptops. Maybe the microphone wasn't great. Maybe the camera quality wasn't great. Some students had to download plugins so that the Google Hangout would just run on their computer. But aside from that, it went pretty smoothly. And at the end, the students really enjoyed it. After I watched it and I gave them their feedback, I would always ask the groups, is it okay if we show it to the class? And the majority of the group said, sure. The last class that I did this with, they were, I don't want to say embarrassed, but they were curious to see what my feedback would be after I watched it. And I thought they did a fantastic job with it. And once I told them that, they were excited for the rest of the class to watch it. My recommendation is, if any of this sounds appealing to you at all, give it a shot. The only way to guarantee that something won't work with your students is to not try it at all. And I could definitely tell you that I'm going to utilize Google Hangouts again in my health class. My next yes is utilizing GIFs at the beginning of each class to help my students seamlessly engage in warm-up activities. Over the summer, I started to create a catalog of GIFs to project onto my screen for my students to use as a point of reference as they go through the warm-up activity for that day to help ensure that they're doing it appropriately. Right now, I have some stretches, some dynamic movements. I have some games that I created GIFs for, like plank hockey, zipper tag. After hearing Sarah Getcha Hartman under the PE umbrella with Ryan Ellis, I'm going to create a GIF for Stomp the Yard. I absolutely love that game after hearing Sarah on Ryan's podcast. My students loved it, so I'm definitely going to create a GIF for that. What I found was that when I have the GIFs playing as the students are going through, whether it be a dynamic warm-up routine or whatever, they do continuously check the screen to make sure that they're executing the stretches and the movements appropriately. Now, obviously, I model it, I explain it, but what I do with those GIFs is I plug them into a Google slide. So on one side, it might be the right side, the left side, sometimes I go top and bottom, but somewhere on the slide will be GIFs of whatever the movements are that the students are going to engage in that day for their warm-up activity, or a GIF of the game that they're going to play that day as their warm-up. And then somewhere else on the slide, a few bullets on how to appropriately execute the movement. So they'll continuously see the movement in front of them. They could turn and look at the screen whenever they want to see the movement. But then they also have language there to help reinforce what they're seeing in terms of the movement patterns. When I first started utilizing GIFs, I downloaded a free GIF maker off of the App Store. And it was fine. It did the job. But recently, I stumbled upon the PE Geeks Loop It. Many of you know Jared Robinson. He has a ton of great things out there. But Loop It is by far and away the best GIF maker that I've utilized. I love it. I've created probably 15 or 20 GIFs in the short time that I've had it. So if you want to utilize GIFs in your classes, I strongly suggest checking out Loop It by the PE Geek. And now for my not yet. A couple years ago, I created a project for my students called the Train Your Teacher Project, which got some attention on social media. I was lucky enough to be featured on the PhysEdagogy podcast with Matt Pomeroy. The Guardian wrote an article about it, and all that's good. But more importantly than any of that, my students were able to display some meaningful learning through engaging in the project, and they had a lot of fun with it. So not to describe the project in detail, I'll share some resources on my website if you want to learn more about the project specifically. But just to sum it up, my students would be assigned or teamed up with a teacher in the building. They would interview that teacher, take a couple classes to design a fitness routine specifically for that teacher, and then that teacher would come back and my students would train them. And the great majority of the time, everything went really well. I mean, obviously, there's some hiccups and some hurdles that you have to work through with anything that you do, and you modify and you adapt and you make things work appropriately for your students. However, one of the things that I did notice was that my students were using a lot of preconceptions that they had of the teachers that they were training and weren't just using the data that they collected during the interview process. In an effort to alleviate that, my idea is this. Rather than having the students and the teachers meet for the interview process, I'll send out the interviews to whatever teachers volunteer their time to engage in the project with my students. I'll still have the students create the interviews as a class, right? That's how the project typically goes. As a class, we create the questions for the interview. But I'll send it out and I'll get the information back. I'll organize the information for the students and then I'll deliver what I got to each student individually. They'll create the routine solely based on the information that they got from the interviews. And then When the teachers come to get trained, they'll meet their teacher client. My hope is that the routines the students put together will be specific to the information that they got from the interviews that they created as a class. So that's it. Two yeses and a not yet. As always, your feedback is welcome. You could find me on Twitter at RizzutoEd. You could find me on Voxer, Charlie Rizzuto, profile ID, RizzutoEd, or you could email me, RizzutoEducation@gmail.com. If you would like to be featured on the show, do not hesitate to get in touch with me. We all have great things to share. Therefore, you are all deserving to be featured on this podcast. Just let me know, and we will figure out an episode to have you on. Until next time, everybody, remember, it is health that is true wealth, not pieces of gold and silver.
Hi, my name is Lynn Hefley, 2017 Shape America Eastern District Elementary Physical Education Teacher of the Year. Please join me in episode 5, where I'm going to share how I use relaxation techniques to open and close my lessons in physical education.